Greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. As I was singing that song, I was thinking this sounds like a message sent from heaven. The King over all says, all is well, all is well. And verse 2 caught my attention. The world of care is with us every day. Let it not this obscure. Here we can serve the Master on our way, on the way, and in him be secure. Gird up your loins, fresh courage take. Our God will never us forsake. And so our song no fear can quell. All is well, all is well. This morning, I'd like to lead you in worship of our God. So I invite you to turn to Psalm 5. I've appreciated, particularly on Wednesday evening, Johnny leading us in our thought in thoughts of God's sovereignty, and then David mentioned an article that Max Lucado wrote on his prediction for the coming election. And then actually David read most of it to us that gathered this morning. And seems like a kind of the recurring theme is that it's easy for us to focus on what we see here and now. But what Max Lucado does and what I think God has tried to teach us in his word is that this is one long continuous story. And yeah, it's difficult not to see the thing that's right in front of us. But I think God continues to call us to step back and say, look at the big picture. God is still sovereign. And that someday, even though it seems that evil is triumphing, that's not the whole story. Someday, I will conquer evil for good, for eternity. And so that's kind of my cry here this morning is, will you take a step back with me as we look at this psalm to see that God is still in control, and that let's look at the big picture, the long look of understanding that someday things will be right. Psalm 5, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in their multitude of in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass them, him as with a shield. One of the things I want you to understand is that obviously we know that David, when he writes about enemies, was talking about a literal enemy. And we understand this in the context of the Old Testament. Jesus tells us to love our enemies, and so we don't wish the things that David wished on his enemies, although I think it's all right to wish those things on the enemy of our souls, Satan. And so I would like to look at, when it talks about enemies, I would like to think of it in the New Testament context of who is the enemy, and understand that. So looking at verse 1, I think I'll read each verse as I come to it in the ESV as well to give some broader context. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. David entreats God to hear, and as the ESV would indicate, even in his groanings. And in the New Testament, we actually have a scripture that talks about how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so I think David understood that sometimes, and I think you probably have been here too, you're just like, I don't know what to pray, but there is something going on in my heart. And we can call it groanings, we can call it, but I think it's turmoil to the point of not even being able to express what's going on. And so David comes to the Lord in that way, and he entreats God to hear. Verse 2, give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. He acknowledges who it is that he wants the attention from. He says, my King and my God. It reminds me of how Jesus prayed in the prayer when he said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I think that's an admission of who we are praying to. And I would just remind you that prayer is not as much trying to get God to do what we want as aligning our will with his. So acknowledging who it is we are praying to is important. So we come to God acknowledging him as our King, our Master, our Lord, the sovereign over all. And somehow the personal agendas, once we get a grasp of that, kind of fall by the wayside, and we're more in tune with saying, God, what are you doing? What are you wanting to do in my life? And how do I align my will with yours? Verse 3. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Morning, the time when everything is new and fresh. And apparently there is some discrepancy of words. If in the King James it is in the italics. In the morning will I direct my prayer. My prayer is in italics. So ESV actually uses the word sacrifice. I prepare a sacrifice. And so there's the idea, and I would like to think that they are not contradictory, but actually prayer is a sacrifice. And so I think we could blend the two as I offer my sacrifice to God. And then I like what it says there. The King James says, I will look up, and ESV says, and watch. The expectancy that God will respond. So I come to him with my sacrifice of praise, of prayer, and I watch. What is God going to do? Verses 4 through 6, then, we look at how David is agreeing with God about how he views the wicked. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. So David acknowledges who God is. He hates wickedness. Only good dwells with him. Fools or boastful cannot stand in his sight. He hates evildoers. He destroys those who lie. And he abhors those who murder and are deceitful. Verse 7. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. I think David says two important things here that are key in coming into God's presence: mercy and fear, or reverence. See, I think just after having talked about what the Lord hates, about the wickedness of man, he acknowledges that, you know, unless if it wouldn't be for your steadfast love or your mercy, I couldn't come into your presence. And so he comes with reverence and fear and awe of being able to come into God's presence. Verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. We need to be led in righteousness. Our enemy longs to see us fall, but we need not as we keep our eyes on Jesus. I think of the words of Jesus, if you want to be my disciple, come follow me. And so we are led into righteousness. Verse 9. For there is no truth in their mouth, their inmost self is destruction, their throat is an open grave, they flatter with their tongue. Basically, just kind of a description of his enemies and a description of our enemy. He's a liar. He is here, he comes to destroy. He offers things that produce death. And he boasts about things that, of how great it's going to be, and yet it's just flattery because there's nothing, he doesn't have anything to offer. Verse 10, make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. So here, David reminds himself and God of their end. And I think as we look at whatever's facing us, obviously the elections are on a lot of our minds. Let's step back, take a bigger picture look and say, but God knows the end from the beginning. And if evil men wax worse and worse, like it says that will happen in the end times, that's only part of the picture. Redemption is drawing nigh, and someday God will triumph over evil. Verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, for those who love your name may exult in you. Here we see, as we trust in God, we experience joy. There is a freedom in our spirit that makes us want to sing for joy. See, it seems to me that David now shifts and his focus is again back on God. And he's saying, all these things that I go through, the enemies that I'm facing, but as I trust in you, there's a settledness in my heart that the enemy can't take away, and there is actually joy, there's rejoicing. God protects our hearts so we can glory in him. That's what I hear him saying. And then verse 12, for you bless the righteous, O Lord, you cover him with favor as with a shield. So I see that as we walk with God, as we trust in him, he blesses us. And I think we need to remember the blessings we don't always understand. We don't always see They are not all physical blessings. A lot of them are spiritual blessings. But God does bless the righteous, and his favor is like a shield. God cares about his own. And so he says his favor over us will be like a shield. So I invite you today to worship this God who is in control. And I encourage you to put your trust in him. If joy isn't a part of your life today, I encourage you, trust in him, because David said, as we trust, God brings joy and rejoicing. And so I trust that can be our experience today as we worship him. Let's kneel and pray. Gracious Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we're grateful that your mercies again are new and that your faithfulness does not fail. And so we just, with the scriptures, say, great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we come to you in a time when life is uncertain. And yet, we want to dwell and put our trust in you, who doesn't change and who will carry us through anything that comes our way. And so, Lord, we worship you, we stand in awe of you, and we come in reverence of who you are this morning and ask for your blessing on this service. I pray that you would bless the Sunday school time. Pray your blessing on the share time and then on the preaching of your word, Lord. We look to you expectantly to pour out a blessing, and we want to be ready to receive it. Pray this through Christ. Amen.